What is going on, beautiful people? Welcome to another episode of The Narcissist Code. I'm your favorite self-aware narcissist, Mr. Lee Hammack, better known as Mental Illness from TikTok, Instagram, YouTube. You know where to find me at. Also, Facebook. My Facebook page is growing, y'all, somehow. Thank y'all, Facebook. Shout out, Facebook. this is your first time seeing my face or hearing my voice. I am a diagnosed narcissist, and I use my platform on social media to raise awareness for NPD. Get more people into therapy, like myself, 4 years going strong. And also in the process of doing all of that, carrying this load of raising awareness, I also help validate the victims and survivors of said disorder. Because guess what, y'all? You might not be crazy. The person you might be dealing with might be making you crazy, and you might be reciprocating. You know, you might be exuding their traits and qualities and things like that. So today's episode is going to be about, the title is going to be, Manipulation Doesn't Work from a Narcissist Without a Handful of Good Times. That quote comes from Matt Pfeiffer Coaching. So you see Matt Pfeiffer Coach. I'm going to tag him in the comment section and things like that in the description to let you know where it came from. But Matt Pfeiffer Coaching said that. He said manipulation from a narcissist or a toxic person doesn't work without a handful of good times, because it just doesn't. How does it work? It doesn't work. It really doesn't. It does not work without a handful of good times. Without giving you something to hold on to, without giving you something to try to get back to or get back to, without giving you good times, the bad times, the manipulation doesn't work. You don't have anything to hold on to. That's why the love bombing phase from a narcissist or in a toxic relationship, you know, is so important. And I mean, I know it doesn't sound as important to a lot of people, but the love bombing phase is extremely important, because that's where all the good times, you know, they overload you with good times. They are just, you know, the sensory overload happens in the love bombing phase from a narcissist. Typically you give them the blueprint to give you everything that you want and need. You tell them the things that you like. You tell them what you're looking for in a significant other. You tell them your plans for the future. You tell them all the stuff that they need to become who you need them to be. That's exactly it right there. You give them the blueprint. A lot of times it doesn't happen like that. You give them the blueprint. See the red flag. You give them the blueprint to become whoever they need to be to get you where they want to get you. Because like they love bomb the bejesus out of it. They just do. Like the best time of your life. Because this is like, I'm talking to people over Zoom when I'm doing my one-on-ones over Zoom and things like that. The link is in the bio, y'all, or the description if you want to do that. When I'm doing that, a lot of people get to the point where people's like, I never felt the love like that. I never felt that way before. During the love bombing phase, the love bombing was intense. It's so common, y'all. It's so common. The love bombing phase was intense. This, that. So you hear that and you realize, like, damn, the love bombing phase was intense. That's where all the good times are bottled up. They crunch, like the love bombing phase is a fast moving phase, y'all. It gives you, like, literally, you're moving extremely fast in the love bombing phase. So I ask people, sometimes I talk to people whenever in a relationship with a narcissist. I'm like, how long were y'all together? They'll say a year. But the stuff that they describe having done in that year sounds like y'all been together for like 4 years, 5 years, because you squeeze so much into that love bombing phase that you are passing relationship milestones faster than other people are in non-toxic narcissistic relationships. You just are. Dang, it took us 5 years to get married and have a kid. And y'all already got that a year in? Wow. What? You know, you're keeping up with everybody else. You're passing everybody else. You're running a sprint. Everybody else is marathoning. You mean, did you ever feel like you're sprinting in a relationship? Tap the brakes, y'all. There's nothing wrong with tapping the brakes, because tapping the brakes can help you show who that other person really is. Hey, can we slow things down a little bit? Why you want to slow things down? It's going perfectly fine. Boom. Red flag. You're pushing against your boundaries. But some people still ignore that. Like, well, the love bombing was intense. You keep still staying there, and you get love bombed, and you get in the toxic situation. Because then here comes the devalue phase, where the narcissist, all that stuff that they were giving you, they take it away. But guess what? You still hold on to this person because you know the love bombing exists. You know they have the potential to do right. So when they start lying to you, when they start manipulating you, when they start gaslighting you, when they start cheating on you, when they start putting their hands on you sometimes, when they start lying, taking money from you, stealing money from you, staying out all times of the night, when all this stuff starts happening, you stay and you're open to staying and you're open to working through it, because the love bombing phase happened. Because the good times exist. Because if there are no good times in a relationship, y'all, you wouldn't stay in it. If it was all bad from the beginning and you don't have any good times to hold on to, you'll be a fool to stay in that relationship. And you know that. This is not me calling you a victim. This is not me victim blaming, victim shaming, because I know cultural things exist where you can't help you who you get married to. You get in an arranged marriage and they arrange you to marriage an You get set up in an arranged marriage and they arrange you to marry a narcissist. You can't do anything about it a lot of times in some cultures. You can't. You get married to a narcissist. But sometimes you have the choice, and like in certain cultures, you have the choice not to marry people. You can pick your partner. You can't pick your parents. You can pick your partner, though. You have your choice of partners. You know you do, because that exists. You have the ability to pick your own partners, to stand in your own truth and stand in your own power. You do. You just do. And a lot of people, you know, sometimes we pick wrong. And people are like, and I know that's one of the main things that you hear a lot of times on from misogynists and other people. They're just like, pick better men. Pick better partners. But when people say that, you alleviate the guilt of the other person. You alleviate the other person who pretended to be somebody totally different, who became who you needed them to, who you wanted them to be. Who kept up a facade for months and years and things like that. They relieve the other person of accountability of faking you out, which happens a lot. But manipulation only works if there are a handful or a lot of good times in the beginning, because you hold on to that potential. Yeah, you got cheated on, but what if maybe this cheating will get it back to the beginning of the relationship? Maybe if I try a little harder, we can get back to the good times. We can get back to rolling like we used to. Maybe if I work harder at being here for them, maybe they'll stop lying to me and gaslighting me. Maybe if I try a little, it puts it all on you. See how you put it all on you? You take it away from the narcissist or the toxic person. You put it all on you. That happens a lot, y'all. That happens extremely. It happens too much, honestly. But you say you took it all on you because you were holding on to the good times. You're holding on to the potential that you experienced in a narcissistic relationship. You're holding on to that because it doesn't work. If you have nothing to hold on to, it'd be easy to let go, correct? It'd be easy to let go. It's easier to let go on the edge of a cliff as opposed to having the entire ground put off from underneath you. Do you know what I mean? You have stuff to hold on to at the beginning of a narcissistic relationship. You should, because if you don't, then again, you know what you are. You know what's going on. If it was all bad from the beginning, like they started off lying to you, like they lied to you in the first date or the second date, and you found out they lied to you in the first date, the second date, you stayed there. That's starting off terribly. So you really don't have any good times to hold on to. What, this person, you scared to be alone? Your codependency issues are kicking into the point where it makes you ignore the huge red flags that are in front of your face because you're scared to be alone. Maybe this is my person. What? You know what I mean? That's why I tell you, you got to slow down and stand in your truth, y'all. You have to. And be okay with being alone. Because if you don't have any boundaries, if you're scared to be alone, you won't have any boundaries. You'll be afraid to set any boundaries. Because how do you tell the difference between love bombing and genuine, authentic love? You can say no to genuine, authentic love. You can't say no to love bombing. Because if you say no or slow things down for some genuine, authentic love, the other person who is giving that to you will slow it down. They'll listen to you and respond accordingly to you. Like, can we slow things down a little bit? Yeah, I care about you. We can tap the brakes a little bit. We are moving kind of fast, right? Yeah, thank you so much. And on the other end of the spectrum is you trying to slow down with a narcissist. Hey, can we slow down a little bit? Why? Why would you want to slow down? That doesn't make any sense. That doesn't make any logical sense to slow things down in a good relationship. Why do you want to slow down? That doesn't make any sense. Like, well, if we gotta slow down, I might as well just be with somebody else to speed up. And then here you go, scared to lose them to somebody else because you know the love bombing was intense, right? You're scared to see them love bombing somebody else. You know, so you just give in. You ignore the red flags. You keep moving fast. You end up pressured into getting married way sooner than you what you're supposed to be. Pressured into having kids way sooner than you're supposed to be. Pressured into buying houses, giving money, going on loans, doing all this stuff, living together, all this stuff way faster than you want to be because you got pressured into it because you didn't want to be alone. You're afraid to be by yourself a little bit. And they weaponize that and they use it against you, which happens a lot. Weaponize loneliness. You get scared to be by yourself, they'll use that against you, torture you mentally, and then they're you. Like I said, but none of this stuff works, y'all, without some good times to hold on to. Remember the good times, y'all. There's nothing wrong with remembering the good times. What's wrong is using those as an excuse to mask your pain and to stay in a toxic relationship. Well, we had some great times. It's not great now, though. What about now? Stay, live in the present. You can only hold on to the love bombing phase for so long, y'all. You're 10 years in now. What about the first 3 months of the relationship? Are you still holding on to it? It's been 10 years trying to get that back. When do you stop trying? When do you give that up? I mean, I'm not telling you to leave your relationship because everybody, you can't believe it. I'm not telling you to leave your relationship. I'm telling you to choose you. If choosing you and choosing happiness means you leave, then you leave. If choosing happiness means you stay, you notice I got quiet right there because you just said you weren't happy at the beginning, right? That's why you're holding on to the good times because you're not happy right now. So make that make sense. If choosing happiness means you stay in a toxic relationship, then are you really happy? Think about that, y'all. Think about all the moving pieces in that situation right there. But anyways, y'all, like and subscribe for more. Don't hold on to the good times for only so long, y'all. People don't deserve 100,000 chances. They just don't. Because they'll take those 100,000 chances and go love and break up with you after that. Why? I don't understand why you gave me so many chances. I wouldn't give you that many chances. Gotcha. You lose. Anyways, y'all, like and subscribe for more. My podcast, sorry I didn't upload my podcast yesterday. I don't know what the world happened. Yeah, sorry about that. Thank y'all for tuning in, though. You get 2 episodes on the podcast today on Apple Music and Spotify. So this is episode number 2, y'all. Thank y'all for tuning in. I really, truly, truly appreciate every single one of y'all. Mental illness is out. Peace. My podcasters, I'm sorry, y'all. I don't know how I did that. I just looked on there a few minutes ago to upload this one. I'm like, man, I ain't upload yesterday. Dang. Anyway, y'all, thank y'all so much. I really, truly appreciate y'all. Hit that 5 stars for me on Apple Music. Let me check it while I'm right here, y'all. I'm going to keep talking to y'all. I'm right here. I'll be checking it. I'll be seeing some good stuff all the time on here on Apple Music. I don't know. You can't do it on Spotify, y'all, apparently. I'll be looking for reviews on Spotify. They haven't gotten to me yet. Oh, I got 5 new 5-star ratings. Thank y'all so much. Goodness gracious. I really appreciate that. Let's look on here. The last one says, validation, Case Bob. The emotional death episode resonated with me. I think I emotionally died years ago and didn't know until now. Stay strong, Case Bob. I really appreciate the 5-star rating. Then Combat Marshmallow said, honest, insightful, and helpful. So much insight into narcissistic behaviors. I really appreciate that one. And then CMCW1975 says, truth is your best friend. As difficult as it is to hear the truth, I am married 13 years to a non-clinically diagnosed narcissist abuser. After I counseled that person for months, he joined therapy and for narc abusers, and I set my own healing. There you go, y'all. I really appreciate it. I'm gonna read. This is the long one, y'all. I'm gonna read that in a second. Thank you so much, CMCW. Y'all all stay strong. Leave me some positive reviews. I really truly appreciate y'all. I'm going live on all my channels. So if you only listen to me on podcasts, follow me on one of my channels: YouTube, TikTok, or Instagram, or Facebook. I'm going live. I'll be live today, probably this evening, y'all. Thank y'all so much. I really truly appreciate all of y'all. Thank you. Mental illness is out. Peace.